Our Bibles, if you will, please, and we're going to turn to James. But I want you to put your finger in that. But then I want you to go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, if you will. 1 Kings chapter 18. I think it's just allergies. Every once in a while, I got to stop and dismiss some stuff in my nose. So I'm sorry about that, but I'll do my best here. I think it's allergies. 1 Kings chapter 18, James 5. I didn't tell you that. Didn't tell you James 5. James 5, 1 Kings 18. 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We got 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings. Back in the Old Testament. Did you realize that the Old Testament and New Testament go together? A lot of folks think one doesn't have anything to do with the other, and that's so untrue. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. It all makes sense. And Paul says, I show you a mystery. He said, it was in there, you just didn't see it. Now I'm going to show you. And so that's important. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. And I'm trying not to use a lot of scripture, but there's some things, the scripture just says so much better than I do. And I don't mind telling stories, but God just puts all the details in there. Sometimes I leave out some of the details, and usually they're the good parts. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. This is talking about Elijah. You know the great prophet Elijah. And actually, to be honest with you, you remember back before Easter and Palm Sunday and before the Bible conference and before we talked about the violent society, we finished up before that. We were talking about, do you know the God of Elijah? Well, I got sidetracked. And I want to come back to that, and I told you I was going to do a prequel, and so we got at least one prequel here that we're going to do. So I'm going to go back, and Lord knows all these things, and he put it all in place. I think it's the right time to preach this message anyway. But Elijah was a great prophet. And people talk about how great a prophet he was and all the many things, the miraculous things he did. And that's a wonderful thing. It's true. But we're going to see some things that Elijah is just like you, just like me. Just regular folk. And I know we've kind of been hitting this, and I'm not sure why the Lord has put it all in here one time, but I just feel like it's the way it has worked out. I think so many people feel like they're just some insignificant speck in the universe. You know, it's good to fear God. Some people think they're the center of the universe. You know? And everything revolves around them, and obviously God knows what's going on in their life. You know, but then there's most of us, you know, we have a fear of God. We kind of think we're just a little speck in the universe. And we forget that there's a God that he can see every little speck. He knows every molecule. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And the fact is, when we were just the elements, the minerals, in the dirt, he knew where we were going to be gathered up and come up and be a big pile of dirt like this. He knew it. He knew what was going to be put together. You say, well, how could anybody know that? We can't. God does. And so when we feel like we've messed up or we've failed or we're just this insignificant problem to God, we forget that there's a God who loves us with an everlasting love, who has not thrown us away, and he wants to use us. And so I want to be an encouragement to you today, and I want you to see some things in the life of Elijah. Have you ever felt like no one else feels the way I feel? No one's hurting right now the way I hurt. That's not true. So we come to a time in Elijah. I want you to see some things here. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. And he's living in amongst of some wicked people, and the people even in his Israelites are a mess. He says, and Elijah came unto all the people of Israel, and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, and remember there's capital letters L-O-R-D, all in capital means Jehovah, the self-existing one. If Jehovah's God, and watch, not Allah, not Krishna,
not Buddha, not any of the millions of ones of the Hindu gods. He's saying, if Jehovah be God, follow him. But if Baal, whatever that world's worshiping at the time, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. He said, well, I don't know what to say. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, wholly, remain a prophet unto the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it's well spoken. Many of you know this story. Basically, what Elijah is saying, so let's find a side who God is. Who's God? Who's the real God? So he says, I tell you what, we're gonna make an altar. You make an altar, all you folks of Baal, you make an altar, and I'm gonna make an altar over here to Jehovah. You take a bullock, and I'm gonna take a bullock, you put it on there, we're gonna have a sacrifice. You call on your God and see if fire comes down and accepts your sacrifice. Then I'm gonna call God and on him and see if he'll come down and take and burn up the sacrifice on mine. We'll see which one's God. And so that's where we are. And they said, well, that works. That'll work. Verse 25. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself. You choose which one you want. I don't know whether one was going to go up and smoke quicker than the other. I don't know. But he said, you choose. You go ahead. I'm not playing any games here. You choose which bullock you want and dress it first. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods. Notice that's plural. But put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of the Baalim from morning unto evening, unto noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Can you imagine up there on top going, come on, Baal! You know, up there leaping and having a good old time, you know, just all kinds of contortions. Verse 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, and for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. He's making fun of him. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lasses till the blood gushed out upon them. By the way, God doesn't want our blood. Our blood doesn't do anything anyway. It's only his blood. Verse 29, and it came to pass, when midday was past, that they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That's another whole message there. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill four barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord Jehovah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. By the way, don't go out and make a big to-do if God hasn't told you to. You can look pretty stupid if God didn't tell you to go build an altar and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we get out there and we put God's name on things and we wonder why we look like an idiot. And too many preachers have done that over years. Verse 37, he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said to them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escaped. And they took them, Elijah, and brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Great victory. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab, that's the king, told Jezebel, that's the queen, and they liked the prophets of Baal, told her all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. If you're not dead this time tomorrow, let the gods take care of me. By the way, the gods eventually do. Not the gods, but the God. Verse 3. And when he saw that, when Elijah saw what Jezebel was going to do, he arose and he went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, it's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. We had a great victory. And then a little hussy of a woman threatens his life, and he gets scared. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. 5:16. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 17. Elias, or Elijah, Elias is the Greek form of Elijah, was a man's subject. Means he was under the power of, under the influence of, under the weight of, subject to like passions as we are, the same emotions, the same hurts, the same elations, and yet the same disappointments. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I know it's a long start there, but I'm going to pray, and we're going to talk about the fears of a man of God. Now, that's the title, but you can say it this way, fears of a person of God. Not just the man of God. It's any person who knows Christ as Savior, who walks with God on a normal basis, the fears that we can have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. I want to be encouragement to our folks here. Oh, I want to be encouragement. And Lord, we can't get into all these things. But Lord, there's so much here that I want these folks to see. I just want to be encouragement to them. Sometimes we feel like we can't go on. And yet you've given evidence in our lives before, and yet we wake up the next day and it's almost like we forget everything you've ever done and we're afraid to face the day. And I know of which I speak. But Lord, we know that you're great and you're mighty and you love us with an everlasting love. And then you know that we're just dust. And as a father, you pity us. And Lord, I'm so grateful. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. May your Holy Spirit fill that need in each heart here this morning. And again, we'll give you the praise for what you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen. We are mortal human beings. We have our faults. You've been here on Sunday nights. We've been talking about that. We have our faults. We have our fears. We have our failures. We can be someone that's walking with God and still find ourselves faced with circumstances that raise up fear within our hearts. And if we're not careful, we start looking at the fears and we're looking at the foes, and we get our eyes off the Father, and we wonder how we're going to get through another day. Often we feel that we are alone in the battle. Sometimes you feel like you're alone for the battle for right. You're just trying to stand for right. Maybe it's within your family. Maybe it's within your place, your work, just whatever. You're just trying to stand for right. We feel we're attacked. Sometimes we feel forsaken by others that claim to be with us. And I'm not saying that the threats aren't real, and I'm not saying that that we're not being wronged. I'm just saying whether we are, whether we're not in this alone. Let me give you a number one here. I want you to see some things here and just some thoughts today. I wish I had a nice little outline. I don't, but I got some statements. I hope it'll help you put all this thought through. Elijah was having to have faith within a faithless society. Having faith within a faithless society. I hate to say it, and please don't take this wrong, but I think, again, I know of what I speak. There's a lot of folks who play church on Sunday morning, and we're not necessarily, you know, we're so busy acquiescing to this and that and the other thing. There was some Sunday school literature we used to use years and years and years and years and years. And a good Bible-believing church has been using it for years. And then they kind of changed who was heading up things, and they changed the curriculum. And all of a sudden, some of the curriculum came through. It was so benign. Now listen, I'm not saying it was bad stuff, but we're not here to teach all the things the world can teach. We're here to teach the Word of God. And, you know, now listen, God gave us the creation, and God makes us, we're supposed to be, you know, stewards of that, and I understand that. But we started getting Sunday school lessons talking about, you know, living a green life, you know, and ecology and all this kind of stuff, and that was a Sunday school lesson. Listen, the world's teaching us that all the time, and I'm not saying we ought to waste away our world, but the fact is we're wasting away lives and times when people need to know Christ is their Savior, and people are walking away from God. And we wonder why we have a violent society, because we haven't been giving them the truth. We haven't passed it on to the next generation. And so sometimes you may just feel like you're the odd man out. And to be honest with you, I hate to say it, sometimes we are. Now, we're not the only ones who are right. And I'm not saying, oh, me. But I'm saying sometimes we just feel like we're the odd man. You know, you don't laugh at the dirty joke, and they all look at you and think you're, you know, what's wrong with you? This Elijah lived in a day when very few feared God, including God's people. That's why he came. He said, you got to decide, is God God, or is the rest of the world what they're saying right? We got to make a decision. Now, that's another whole message. There's so much in this passage. But he says, that's the message. Many did not fear God. Many were adamantly opposed to God in here. And we're getting in that today. I mean, it's just like, oh, my soul, you said God in public. What's even worse, say Jesus in public. Man, you put his name down, and there's a line of delineation. Well, we don't have to get so specific. Well, you do if you understand the Bible. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Now, if that's true, then we can't throw him out. If you just name the name of God, that means we can fill in God here. I'm almost getting to a point where I want to say Jehovah. I know that's kind of crazy, because that's kind of been twisted too. But Jehovah, not just any old God, Jehovah. Many people believe in something called God. I want to get into all this, but the fact is, you go back in 1 Kings 16. It talks about how there was there was all kinds of things going on here. In fact, let me show you a little bit here. Go back to the first Corinthians. I'm sorry, First Kings 16, verse 23. 1 Kings. I don't want to belabor the point here. 1 Kings 16, 23. It says, in the 30 and the first year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And he bought the hill Samaria. And some of you know all this. I can't get all this tonight, but you know what I'm talking about with Samaria. They kind of wanted to go away from God. Look at verse 25. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in the way of Jeroboam. You know all those stories and so forth. Verse 28. So Omri, these are the different kings of Israel. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Abraham, his son, I'm sorry, Abraham, Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. Look at verse 30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord before all, above all that were before him. And so it's getting worse and worse. Verse 13. I love verse 31. My mind's going weird here. Verse 31. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. So, in other words, this is not a great time. The king, who's already doing a bunch of things, he's, as if it was no big deal, he goes, gets a wife from a foreign nation who worship these things, goes out in the world and brings that mess and brings it into the people of God. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. So like to the point where everybody was in authority was against Jehovah. Now this is just a little side thing, but you get the idea. Look at verse 34. In his days did Hiel, the Bethelite, build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof on Abiam, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, that's another whole side story. But when Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and all the walls came tumbling down, okay? Joshua, way back, many, many years before this, said, whoever tries to rebuild Jericho is going to kill his sons in the process. Don't rebuild Jericho. It'll kill your family in the process. And what's it saying is during the time of Ahab, this guy said, well, I'll rebuild Jericho. It doesn't matter to me. And sure enough, he lost two sons in the process. I'm just saying people didn't care about God. There was no fear of God in their face. This is where we're living today. And if we're not careful, we will feel like we are in the fight of our lives. And we'll feel like we're all alone. We feel like we are fighting society. We feel like our people have deserted us. And maybe they have. But God is faithful. These individuals that do not fear God can still have the power of God. I'm sorry. These individuals that do fear God can still have the power of God despite what the rest of the world is doing. You understand what I'm saying? Just because the rest of the world is going bananas, that doesn't mean that God has forgotten you. We make our own decision. So number one, having faith within a faithless society. Number two, God takes care of his own. Again, we can't go through a whole lot of this, but you get to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself. So what happened was, Elijah says, we can't seem to get the nation's attention. Everything's just too good. And they forget from where they, who the provider is. So we're going to remind them who the provider is. Elijah says, tells King Ahab, he says, God's going to turn off the faucet. Nothing. You know, it doesn't take too long before you're thirsty. Doesn't take long at all. It doesn't take long. I was surprised we moved here to Pennsylvania, up here with all, especially in Dover, where all the clay is. Down in Maryland, if we had a rain, you know, inch, two, maybe three, you know what they would say? Boy, that's a good soaking rain. Well, that'll last us a while. That's a good soaking rain. Around here, we say, oh my soul, we're going to have floods. And so we'd have a flood. 2 weeks later, they're saying the ground's really dry. We got a burn ban. Why? Because the water never got into the ground. You know what I mean? It kind of runs off the top. We live on a big clay pot, you know? And so where I came from, it was great. Now, they're talking about tomorrow. They're talking about 2-3 inches of rain. Oh, my soul, here we go. We're going to have all this rain. Well, around here, it doesn't take long until everything's brown again. Over that sandy soil, it just kind of disappeared too. It says no rain. Now, fact is, if it's no rain, then that means for us too. It means for us too. But what happened? God says, I tell you what, I want you to go down by the river Cherith. He says, Elijah, go down the river Cherith and sit there. And he had the ravens come by and give him food. And, you know, I mean, I'm not sure I want to eat after a bunch of birds. Sometimes we all have to suffer a little bit. But the fact is, he had food. And he had water. Go down a little further, the river Cherith dried up. So what are you going to do? He sends him to a widow lady. He walks along, he finds this widow lady, he says, I tell you what, can you get me a little water? And she says, yeah, I can get you a glass of water. He says, would you make me a cake? I'm not talking about, you know, triple layer chocolate fudge, you know. He's just talking about a little piece of bread, you know. And she said, well, be honest with you, I'm out here picking up sticks to make a fire, and I'm making the last bit of grain into cakes, and I'm going to feed my son and I, and then die, I guess. I don't know what else. We don't have any other food. And he said, I'll tell you what, fix me one first. Well, that's talking about a selfish preacher. You know how that goes. But he said, fix me one first. And I guess you kind of figure, well, it's not going to make any difference, huh? But he said, Lord, take care of you. And sure enough, she does that, and the grain never ran out. The oil never ran out the entire time. Fed Elijah, the widow lady, and her son. God took care of him. Wasn't the nicest, but God takes care of us. God takes care of his own. God provides for his people. Now, the man of God's not eating high on the hog. Of course, he wasn't supposed to anyway. You'll get that later. He's a Jew. But God allows things to look bleak in order to keep our faith in him. I hate those times. I love those times when they're all over. We glory in tribulations also, because tribulations work with your patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. God takes care of his own. Number three, God shows his power best in the midst of hard times. Just does. That little widow lady, all of a sudden her son got sick. I said, what in the world did you do to me? She goes to Elijah. Elijah goes up. You remember the story? Lays on the boy three times. The Bible says his soul came back into him. A good little piece there. His soul came back into him. And he came alive again. God's still using Elijah, right? He's using him. Number four, sometimes we have to take a stand and face our foe. What do we have here? We have what we read a little while ago. Elijah's a man of God. He stood where God wanted him to stand. He said there won't be any rain. There was no rain. God took care of Elijah, walked him through these times. And then it came a time when he said, you know what, we've got to make a stand here. Either God is God or he's not. And we had that showdown on Mount Carmel. And all the prophets of Baal get themselves going. They're cutting themselves and trying to get on to jumping up there, hooting and hollering and all this kind of stuff. And nothing happens. And he comes over. He's got he repairs the altar. By the way, you can still repair the altar. That's where we lay ourselves down and yield ourselves to God. You can still repair the altar. It's not too late. Well, you don't know all I've done. Repair the altar. He repairs the altar. He puts the sacrifice on there. And he digs a trench. Probably most most work a preacher's done in a long time. He digs a trench around this thing here and goes, go get some water, get some barrels of water, pours it over it. Why? So it won't ignite. I mean, things are really dry. So they get some more water. They pour it on. They do it again and again until the trench, until it's all dripping wet. There's water around it. Everything is soaking wet. Listen, it wasn't going to ignite by accident. He wanted everybody to know when if this thing goes off, it's God. And what's he say? He says, God, you were the God of Abraham. You were the God of Isaac. You're the God of Israel. Show them that you're the God. And I'm just your servant. Fire falls down, consumes everything. The altar, the sacrifice, the water, poof. And he said, Lord, he is God. He's the God. That's right. Lord, he's the God. Wonderful. Victorious. And we realize who God is, and that the Lord, he is the God. Number five. By the way, don't you love those times? Remember that old show, I Love It When a Plan Comes Together? Who was that? That was the A-Team or something. I love it when a plan comes together. And God does, he gives you those times. But you know what? We can't live there because we will get ourselves in trouble. We'll get fat and lazy, and we'll get settled. He lets this. You're either in a trial. You're just coming out of a trial, or you're headed into one. But God is transcendent. Number five, Elijah has to learn the lesson he just preached. Now, this is a man of God. This is a person of God. God has done great things. And this is like almost like God pulls the shades down and says, well, we'll see you another day. He says, how long do you halt between two opinions? Well, that's fine. And the fact is, people have seen what Elijah, nobody has seen a lot of things Elijah has seen. He's had great victories. But then we come to chapter 19. And then this little Zidonian princess that Ahab married, which, by the way, you go back and say, she kind of wagged his tail, I'll tell you what. She was ahead of the household in many ways. She says, I'm going to get you and your little dog. Exactly what she said. And he's sitting there going, get me out of here. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. No place like home. Get me out of here. She says, I'll get you before in the next 24 hours, you'll be a dead man. That's really what she said. That quick, we forgot who brought the fire down. That quick. He's so scared. Listen, he runs for his life. Sometimes we just want to get out. Sometimes we want to escape our circumstances. And Elijah's so scared, so depressed, so discouraged, he contemplates taking his life. Look what it says here. Verse 3. And when he saw that he arose, when he saw that, Elijah, we saw what Jezebel threatened, verse 19:3, he arose and went for his life. This is kind of strange. He went to save his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down unto a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. I've done enough. I've had enough. Take away my life or I'm no better than my father's. He said, I haven't gotten any further than anybody else. I'm a failure. That's what he said. That he had the power of God to call down fire. And everybody says, Jehovah is the God. Jehovah is the God. And then one woman makes a threat. And he says, I'm a failure. Sometimes I think these people are bipolar. By the way, I think a lot of bipolar can be satisfied with just faith. We laugh about that. Well, he was just up, man. He was high up yesterday, but boy, he's about as low as you can get today. Boy, he's up, he's down. You just never know what's going to happen. You know why? Because we're riding our circumstances. You ride your circumstance, you'll get whiplash. You ride your circumstances, it's like riding the roller coaster. The ups, the downs, the twists, the turns, the loops. Getting a little silly here. The loops, the dark tunnel you go through. And of course, you come down this way so you can't see the end of the tunnel first. You know that? You go down to a tunnel, and it looks like you're going down to the depths, and turns around, oh, there's light. Life with God should be more like, when we understand the way God thinks, it should be more like the monorail. You see everything for what it really is. You see behind the scenes of the Wild West show that they did down here on the other side of the park. And you see that all that's just a big facade. And you're riding above, viewing here, I see the works of God. You know that dwelling in Beulah land? That's what it's saying. Listen, we all do it. So what happens? God has to remind Elijah that God's still in control. This is good. Chapter 19, verse 10. Oh, by the way, while he's out there, even then, God takes care of him. You read that in a few verses above there, 19. You can go back and read it. God took care of Elijah. We're still alive. You know, sometimes we think, we go to bed and everything has fallen apart. You think, and you wake up the next morning. No, still here. They're still here. All those things that you feared that got to you to the point, and I know what I'm talking about, till it hurts, until it gets you till you're actually almost sick to your stomach. You ever had those times when something happens and everything goes in an uproar and you think, how am I going to handle it? What's going to happen? How are we going to pay the bills? Why have I lost this? Listen, my husband just walked out. My wife just walked out. Or the kids just got a call from the doctor. And there's this feeling that goes down in your gut and it's just about ready to rip you open. But we forgot that God's still God. And those times you remember, look, we're still here. His mercies are new every morning. Verse 10. Elijah says, verse 9. They came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah ran out, got in the cave, and the Lord shows up and says, and by the way, I haven't heard God's voice. But I have felt his voice. And there's some times when he said to me, Sterling, what are you doing here? Why are you in this place in your life? Why, in other words, why are you feeling here? Why are you thinking this way? What are you doing here? Elijah says, he gets a little full of himself. He says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets and the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I'm the only one doing right around here, God. I'm all alone. First of all, that's not the case. There's others around us. But even if it was all gone, we're not alone. Look what it says in verse 11. And he, God, said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Before the Lord passed by, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rock before the Lord. That's impressive. We've seen some heavy rains and some heavy winds knock down things, and we've seen some winds around here recently. Remember the first year we were here, 2003, I thought, what in the world? Where in the world did we? I thought we'd gone to some other side of the world as a missionary. I'd never seen the winds of that winter. It was just awful. Blew shingles off our roof. I've never had shingles blown off my roof until we came up here. Lynn Hoover had to come out and fix them for us. It was windy. We've seen some wind. But the Lord was not in the wind. Oh, it's a powerful. But you haven't seen the power of God. That's what they're saying. And after the wind, an earthquake. Well, I tell you what, I remember, this is not too long ago, we had one around here. I shouldn't tell you this, but I was in the little room with the sink, sitting on the throne, when the earthquake hit. That's no fun. I felt my house move. I saw it twist. It was the weirdest thing. We got a crack in our kitchen from that earth. Well, how long ago was that? I don't know. It's been within the last 10 years because we've been in the house for 10 years. But it's been within the last 10 years. And that's not, you don't like it. Listen, it wasn't just a little tremor. God made the earth shake. Well, watch verse 11. Well, the Lord was not in the earthquake. You think that's powerful? 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. Boy, there's nothing that destroys like fire. And when it gets whipped up with the wind and everything, and it's like there's no stopping it. Here it comes, and what do you do? Well, the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. God doesn't need all the flash and the thunder and the lightning. It's all fluff. What we need to do is stand still and hear the salvation of the Lord and His still small voice. He says, I love you with an everlasting love. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. Oh, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. You could walk with God. You could say everything's going well. You can have seen victories. And it's amazing. And listen, don't defeat yourselves. So now, oh my soul, I guess I don't have any faith. I guess I don't have a problem. Listen, Elijah had faith. But he was a man of like passion such as we. He hurts. He gets scared. He wonders what's going to face the next day. How we're going to make it through the week. You know, he prayed and the rain stopped. And you know what? He prayed again and the rain started. And yet he ran from a funny looking woman. They say that her face was so painted up the way they did this thing, where she came from. And we forget so soon that the Lord, He is the God. He is the God. Let me give you one more thing. I'm sorry. Got myself going here.
Kings.
1 Kings 19, 14.
Let's go back to 13.
Let's go back to 13. And it was so when Elijah heard it, what? There was a still small voice. We heard what? The still small voice. So when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the end of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" What are you doing? 14, he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." He still hadn't learned. He still feels that way. He's a man of like passions. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, "Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and Abimelech, oh man, that mother must have hated that baby, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in the room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Ahaziel shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And watch, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." And so he departed thence and found Elisha, the king of Shaphat, the son of Shaphat, and was plowing the 12 yoke of oxen. We know the story. He goes on. What do you mean? Where is he going? God said in a still small voice, he came up to Elijah and he said, "Elijah, come on. What are you doing here?"
"Well, I'm the only one to say..." I said, "Well,
you got work to do. I still can use you. I got some things I need you to do. Stop looking at the mess. Stop looking at all the mess and the fears. Get up and do your job. And by the way, you're not alone. There's 7,000 who are also standing. You're not alone." The fear of a man of God, the fear of a person of God. Listen, folks, I mean, the message I gave some weeks ago, do you know the God of Elijah? You see, when you know the God of Elijah, you know a God that sees your fears. Amen. He sees your faults. He sees your failures. He says, "I can see that I can use you. Just get up by faith and do what I ask you to do. Take it one day at a time." Maybe that's what we need to do. But not get lost in the mess. But look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He can do it. See, when I walk with God, I can't believe how scared I am. I know. You're a person of like passion, just like Elijah. But if God can use Elijah, and God can carry him through, he's just a regular Joe. We're going to find out that Elisha was just a regular Joe, just a farmer. Listen, he's got the same thing going on with you. Listen, God provided for that widow and her son simply because she obeyed the word of God. Don't let the fears destroy you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Again, we thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, use this time and do a work. Encourage our folks. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and our eyes, the altar is open. Piano and organ is going to play as soon as they're ready.